Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 32. The Lord said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." We continue the message this evening of the series of messages on the mountain peaks of Bible prophecy. Let's pray together. Father, you know the heaviness of our hearts this evening. Lord, as we have already mentioned, Brother Gill in prayer and his great need for your touch. Lord, now we ask for Brother Tommy and Sister Mary and their family. Lord, you alone know the circumstances, and Lord, you know the hearts. Lord, you know who in the family situation knows you, and Lord, who needs to be saved. Lord, I pray that you would work during this week that's ahead. Lord, I pray that you would comfort your people. We ask that you would minister the comfort that you alone are able to give. Lord, we pray for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, we pray for those in the family that do not know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, that you would draw them, that they would put their trust in him. Lord, you are the healer of broken hearts, and we ask that you would work in this ministry to minister to the needs of this family. Lord, the unspoken requests of our people are precious in your sight. We ask tonight that you would also intervene in those circumstances. Lord, where that your wisdom is needed, we pray that you would give that wisdom in abundance. Lord, we ask for your grace to cover us. Lord, we ask that we might be able to reflect your glory, your light, through our lives in this week that's ahead. Lord, we ask tonight that you would bless the preaching of your word, that you would feed our souls. Lord, I pray that you'll encourage our hearts as we dwell upon the blessed hope of the believer that the Lord Jesus is coming, and we believe coming soon. I pray tonight for your anointing to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We have looked for the past several Sunday evenings at what we call mountain peaks of Bible prophecy. Of the Lord Jesus in the text that we read just a few moments ago reminds us that no one knows the day or the hour of his coming. But the Lord said, just like the budding of the fig tree could let the people know that it was about time for the fullness of the fruit, the Lord Jesus said there are certain signs, there are certain indications that point toward his soon return. And so we began looking at the mountain peaks of prophecy. fulfilling the prophecy. Peter wrote about it. He said in the last days, scoffers would come and they'd say, where's the promise of Christ coming? He's not coming again. And they do not even realize that by the statements they make, by the arguments that they make, they are literally fulfilling prophecies that are pointing to the second coming of the Lord. We talked about the alliance being formed between nations with Russia, the alliance with Turkey, Iran, Libya, Syria, those like-minded nations as prophesied in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 38, and we looked at that in a little bit of detail. Also, we looked at the global cries for peace and safety that Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 3. All around the world, people are crying out for peace and for safety. It's one of the great heart desires of people of the world, or so they say, and that points toward the second coming of Christ, we believe. We also looked at the fact that Jerusalem is the most controversial and contested city on the face of the earth. And we talked about, regardless of what a person's politics are, we know that one of the reasons that our president is hated so devoutly among the left-wingers is that he dared to move the embassy of the United States of America to the city of Jerusalem. He did something that no other president had the conviction or the courage to do. And Jerusalem is the most contested city on the face of the earth. And, of course, the scripture talks about the importance Jerusalem is going to play in the latter days and the plan of the Lord's return. We talked about the world's increase in rampant wickedness. And we talked about some of the examples of the wickedness that's unbelievable. Things happen today that 20 years ago we would not have believed would take place in the public arena. Displays of the depravity and the debauchery of men rebelling against God, the moral laws of God. And these things point toward the return of Christ. We talked in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4, about the knowledge explosion and gave some examples about how that we're living in a day unlike anything on the face of the earth when knowledge has exploded. And then we talked about the increase in earthquake activity and the intensity of famine. We talked about the surge of violence on the earth. And then we talked specifically 2 weeks ago on Sunday evening about the resurgence in the desire of the Jewish people to rebuild the temple. And thanks to the guys in our sound booth here, we were able to show some pictures that we obtained from the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. And all of these things are pointing toward the soon rebuilding of the temple. The Temple Institute claims that because of a modular system that they have developed, if they could somehow take possession of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, within 4 to 6 months, they could literally have the temple reconstructed in Jerusalem, and they would be prepared to offer sacrifices and reinstitute the Old Testament form of worship. They have begun training priests in the jobs that they would perform in Old Testament worship. They have identified a red heifer. This coming August, that heifer will be 2 years old, which is the minimum age for a red heifer to be used in the particular cleansing of the temple that would be necessary when the new temple is built and when it is opened. And so we looked at things such as that. This evening, I'm going to ask you to open with me to Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 6. And we're going to look at something else in the light of the mountain peaks of the return of Christ and prophecies that point toward the soon return of the Son of God. Revelation chapter number 6. Of course, this is in the midst of what John saw concerning the horse revelations there. The white horse in chapter 6, verse number 2, speaks of the Antichrist. It says he had a bow, a crown was given unto him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. And we note he, although the Antichrist will come with a bow, in this appearance here, he has no arrow. And that is one of the indicators to us that the Antichrist is initially going to take power by peaceful means. In other words, people of the earth are going to gladly surrender authority to him, believing that he finally can bring peace on the earth. There's no arrow. It's only the bow that's mentioned here. And then we find in verse number 4, there's the red horse. In verse number 5, the black horse. But look down at verse number 6. It says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, say the four creatures, the heavenly creatures, a measure of wheat for a penny,
and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And the particular mountain peak of prophecy that's pointed to here is inflation. The measure a penny here in Bible times was the approximate earnings of a person for one day's labor. That is speaking of a common laborer. A common laborer would earn approximately one penny per day. And so here in Revelation chapter number 6, and of course this scripture takes place, the fulfillment is after the rapture of the church has already taken place. And so it speaks here of inflation. Inflation is an increase of price levels without a corresponding increase in commodities. And you notice specifically what is revealed to us here, the case in point of the text is what amounts to be about one quart of wheat. That's all. One quart of wheat, and the cost just of that one quart of wheat is an entire day's salary. Also, you notice concerning the measure of barley here, the measure of barley is approximately, if we translate this into the measurements that we understand, it is about three quarts of barley. That's all. Three quarts of barley, but you have to pay an entire day's wage just to gain three quarts of barley. The world today is fighting a battle with inflation. One that comes to mind, one that is most clearly brought to mind by us, of course, is what's going on in the country of Venezuela. The country of Venezuela was taken over by a Marxist governor. There's a dictator down there in Venezuela, and he began to print money that was not backed by gold or silver, any precious metal. It was not backed by any natural resource, any mineral, anything like that. He was simply printing paper money. And so they have created a situation there where the economy is upside down. We've got a missionary that several months ago had to come home because of the strife and the fighting going on in Venezuela. As people have become desperate, they're hungry. They cannot feed their families. Fathers cannot feed their wives and their children. People are literally starving to death in Venezuela. And the problem there is inflation. The money, it may say that it's worth a certain value, but there's nothing to back it up there. And so inflation, we've seen the example in Venezuela. Somebody says, if you think about changing the government of the United States from what we have, an electoral system where the people vote and we choose our leaders and so forth, and you want to trade that for socialism, well, just examine Venezuela and decide, is that what you want? Because that's what it's going to bring if you turn government over to the socialists. But here in the United States, there is an enormous national debt that is coupled with the printing of money in recent decades. It's pushing our national economy toward the edge of a complete collapse. Several years ago, the United States went off the gold standard. It used to be that paper money in our country was backed by gold. But when the United States went off the gold standard, then we began this process of inflation where that there's money. And you know yourselves, your paper dollars today will not buy as much as they would even buy 5 years ago. And you think about your paper dollars today, how that they will not buy as much as they would buy 25 years ago. And we see that snowball effect of inflation. And the scripture points out how that during the tribulation, following the rapture, when you and I that have been saved by the grace of God and we have been caught away to meet Christ in the air, what's going to happen in the world is going to be worldwide inflation. And it's prophesied here Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 6. And what we see today is simply the long shadows of that tribulation inflation beginning to be cast across the earth, pointing to the second coming of Christ. We see this principle in households that keep adding to credit card debt without ever paying off the credit card, without balancing the family income. You realize that eventually day of reckoning coming. There's a day of collapse that's coming. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your automobile. You're going to lose everything material that you value because you cannot continue to live that way. Of all people on the face of the earth that ought to be careful about managing our money, it should be Christians. We ought to have a family budgetary system where that we don't spend money that we don't have. And I'm talking to some folks tonight that you need to be listening to this because you're spending yourself deeper and deeper into debt. And you're not paying that credit card off at the end of the month. And listen, my friend, you are headed for trouble. You are headed for trouble because you are disobeying the word of God concerning the matter of debt. The scripture says the borrower is servant to the lender. Can I give you another? The borrower is a slave to the lender. And we need to have our household finances under control. We need to manage our finances. And if we don't have the money to pay for something, then we shouldn't be out spending money as though we did have the money. The scripture gives us principles concerning money management that we need to take heed to. God knew. When God gave us his word, God knew from eternity past how obsessively the issue of money would occupy our minds, and God placed a special emphasis on it in his word. Have you ever thought about this? When you're reading your Bible through, there are over 2,300 verses in the Bible that deal with money. Now let that soak in. God knew how this would come into play in our lives, and God addressed it. God gave us the wisdom if only we'll receive it. But over 2,300 verses in Scripture are there because God says you need to know how to manage your finances. It's important. More than half of Jesus' parables, if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you collect all the parables that Jesus taught, do you realize in all these parables, over half of them use money as an object lesson? It must be important if the Lord put that kind of emphasis on it. In the Ten Commandments of the Word of God, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17, the Lord warns us against the sin of covetousness. Covetousness. What does covetousness do? One thing it does, it prevents us from appreciating and enjoying the blessings that God has already given us. Real quickly, take your Bible. Go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 103. Psalm number 103. In Psalm number 103, and you know this psalm well, Psalm 103, verse number 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. The word bless the Lord, it means to adore the Lord, to hold the Lord in reverence here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 2, watch this, and forget not all his benefits. And folks, when my heart, when your heart is overcome by covetousness, that prevents us from appreciating and enjoying the blessings that God has already poured upon us in his grace. When we're so enamored with the next thing on the list, the next thing that we want, the next thing advertised out there, we're so smitten with that. The scripture says we don't really have a thankful heart to appreciate and take notice of the good things God has already done for us. Covetousness is one of the most dangerous sins mentioned in Scripture. But covetousness will damage us. It will hurt the life of the believer. It'll prevent us from appreciating and enjoying the blessings God has given, but also by seeking immediate gratification of our desires. Covetousness then robs us of the things that would bring us deeper and more lasting satisfaction. You see, when there's something that we want and we don't have the money to pay for it, God is going to teach us some lessons, either through work or through savings or, God somehow is going to work in our lives to develop our character, and God is going to work in us so that we have a deeper and more lasting appreciation of things. When I was a teenager, I wanted a good electric guitar. When I was 11 years old, I got saved, and Daddy and Mother bought me my first guitar. That first guitar that I had was almost made out of press wood. And I've got it hanging up in my basement on the wall just to remember there. But it was almost press wood. It was called a Stella. It was not a Gibson. It was not a Martin. It was a Gretsch. It was a Stella. And I played that little guitar, and the strings were high on it, and it hurt my fingers and so forth. And I wanted an electric guitar. And so my dad found one in the local music store, and it was a True Tone. It was sold by Western Alto. Anybody remember Western Alto? Yeah. Well, it was an electric guitar, but it hurt my fingers. it requires urgency. It is a matter of life and death for you to flee. Verse 18, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. In other words, the situation is so desperate against the Jewish people. They must leave with haste. Verse 19, and woe to them that